This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. I talked about change at the top of the show, and there's a huge shift happening this month in the world of sports. We're in the middle of the free agency period where NBA players are eligible to sign with any team. And LeBron James, yeah, the king of basketball, is reinventing not only how NBA players get paid, but maybe professional athletes as a whole. We wanted to explore why, so we went down to the legendary West 4th Street basketball courts in New York to meet up with Keith Reed.
I am former senior editor at ESPN Magazine. I'm a sports business analyst. That's what I do. That's me.
Reed called LeBron maybe the only truly free athlete in America.
What LeBron has been able to do, and I think this is very significant in free agency, is really enabled by what he's been able to do off the court. Off the court, LeBron James makes a lot more money actually than he does on the court, and that's because the NBA has a salary cap. You know, even if he's on a max contract, there's only a certain amount of money that LeBron can make. LeBron was scheduled to make about $20.5 million going into the 2014 season for the Miami Heat. Well, he was an investor in Beats Electronics. That just sold for $3 billion. He made $30 million sitting on his couch just from that Beats transaction. And so when people talk about, well, why is LeBron, you know, opting out of his contract and what's he going to do? You know, at that stage of the game, he's made his money. So he's free to now negotiate whatever he wants and know that he's going to be straight.
How does that change what other players are doing if you're Dwayne Wade, if you're Chris Bosh, if you're somebody else, if you're not LeBron?
Well, one of the things that LeBron has done is he's made sure that he's been connecting other players to the kinds of business contacts that he has. Now, of course, none of them has as much clout in the business world as LeBron James because none of them is the athlete that he is and none of them is as famous as he is. But he's been making sure that they have some of the same off-court connections as he does. If you look at his friend Chris Paul was connected with the State Farm commercials that he does through LeBron James. I mean, you know, some of the money that many of his contemporaries are making, they're making that money because LeBron is connecting them with his connections either in the advertising world, the marketing world, investment firms, those sorts of things.
You wrote about this and also put it in terms of largely black players playing for largely white owners, that this is very much about buying a different kind of freedom.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's just about race. I think it's about a number of things outside of race. It's about your ability as labor. I mean, you can take this and make it a meta conversation. This is about labor being able to take away power from the hands of capital. This is about labor being able to control its own destiny to the extent that it can. What LeBron James is doing and what this trend is about is that when you once you have a certain amount of clout, once you are marketable, once you can do things that influence mass numbers of people, then your economic clout increases such that you may become more powerful technically than the person who you work for.
We're talking about guys at the top, though. How does this make its way down to affect the rest of the team and what they can do with their money?
Sure. Well, you know, it's going to be different for the guys at the bottom of the scale, right? I mean, in any instance, the guys at the bottom of the scale are going to have less negotiating power because they're not a LeBron, they're not a Chris Bosh, they're not a Dwayne Wade.
So we called up Brandon Greer, an agent who represents NBA players, a little further down in the hierarchy to find out what that's like.
Well, I mean, it's pressure. You're dealing with, you know, not just an individual's lives, but the families that are affected by it as well. You know, a lot of times these guys are, you know, they're the breadwinners for their family.
Greer's company, Principal Management, represents 4 solid but not superstar NBA players.
I feel an obligation to get every dollar I can for them.
A lot of focus this season has been on, you know, LeBron James and the big star free agents, and this question of whether they're kind of changing the marketplace, right? How does that model change things for up-and-coming players like yours?
Well, there's a trickle-down effect with the markets kind of at a standstill until those guys make a decision.
When your younger players look at those superstars, do they think, someday I'm going to be able to have that kind of clout?
I don't think that a lot of young players look at LeBron, you know, and think that they'll have that clout one day. I think they look at let's say a Marcin Gortat, who just signed a 5-year, $60 million contract, as guys who are obtainable to them. I mean, you know, LeBron's a once in a lifetime type talent, you know, on and off the court.
I talked to Keith Reed about this, and he was sort of saying when he was coming up that Michael Jordan was the once-in-a-lifetime player, and his off-the-court money-making was all about endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
And that now, if you're using LeBron as the once-in-a-lifetime player, it's about, you know, equity in Beats, that it's about having a slice of that company and building your own industry, really, and your own business. Do you see LeBron's business acumen changing the way the game is played and changing the way players see themselves?
Definitely. I commend LeBron and his team for the way they approach, you know, off the court, building his business. They're not just trying to be endorsers. They're trying to be owners.
The guys you represent, what are they telling you this season? You know, what are they worried about, excited about? What do they think about when they are going into this season?
It's hard to believe, but they're fans just like, you know, we are. So they love basketball, and they're sitting back watching the landscape. They're interested to see what happens with, you know, the formation of another super team, possibly with Carmelo going somewhere else to challenge Miami or the Spurs.
Nobody in New York wants that, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, New York has a strong position because they can offer the most money.
All this stuff that's happening right now, why does this matter to the average fan?
Well, it affects the product that, you know, they consume for their enjoyment. I believe that the super teams in big markets are great for the NBA because either you love them or you hate them. But one way or another, you're watching. So the better the ratings are for the NBA, the better the business does in general, because TV is the cash cow now.
And speaking of that cash cow, let's do the weekend number. It's 18 million for 18 million viewers. That's how many people tuned in to watch the San Antonio Spurs beat LeBron James and his teammates on the Miami Heat in this year's NBA Finals, according to Nielsen. That's up 10% from last year. So all that Game of Thrones jockeying about free agents, that's to get you watching.